each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. I'm flying in again.
Flying in.
I just had a memorial mass, and then we're trying to coordinate everything for Holy Week. It's just for the Triduum and all that. So just flying down from there to here, literally. How are you guys? Daniel, Tony, Christina, how are you doing?
We're doing well, just good. In preparation for Holy Week.
It's hard to believe.
Let's
pray, okay? I just need to center myself and prayer is indispensable to our interior sense, right, of peace, God's presence among us and within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done on me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America, in fact, the entire world, to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land, this world, for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, the sins of the world, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Incarnate Word, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, everybody, welcome. On this Friday before Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, as we go into Holy Week, as we enter into Holy Week, it would really be good for us to recall that just how many years ago was it, the pandemic, where the public celebration of Holy Week was suspended nearly worldwide. That was odd. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was terrible.
So bizarre. It was an unprecedented historical reality for the church. I mean, really unprecedented. Kind of an omen of sorts, it seems to me. Looking back in retrospect, and we're still feeling the effects of the pandemic, political, social unrest, as well as the victimization of so many by the cancel culture. You know, one wonders what lies ahead, don't you? Doesn't it seem like it's still very much a reality?
Yeah. Yes, and it feels like there's no turning back, like how things were before, prior to the pandemic.
It's no going back.
There's been a sudden change, yes. As we say, in a sudden change in the affairs of the world, right?
Yes.
There is this nefarious and ideological attempt to erase the memory of our sacred history, that of the church and that of our nation, in fact, too. And within our sacred memory really lies the why of our survival. This is why history in its truth, both good and bad, must be safeguarded, both the good and the bad. Because you don't want to forget the bad. You want to learn from your past mistakes. But the whole of history is characterized by conflict in the face of evil, And this is something no generation is spared. It's the result, in a word, of original sin and the ever-present machinations of the demonic. We're in a spiritual battle. But the wonder and the marvel of history is that salvation wins out when all is said and done, always. Even so, the rapidity of victory depends on two things. Number one, that God remains with us, and that we remain with God. Because Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. If you're unfaithful, I remain faithful. And God's faithfulness is realized in love taken to the limit, as we're going to enter into the commemoration next week, as Jesus cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. This cry of our Lord and his thirst for our souls is perpetuated and represented to us in the offering of every Holy Mass until the end of the ages. And it's in the Mass that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, encounter the risen Lord, and fed with that mysterious food made known to us but unknown to others. So we, as a people, as Catholics, as Christians, we have to brace ourselves against attempts that are underway to cancel our sacred memory and deprive us of our sacred food. We could be, you know, likened to the distraught disciples on the road to Emmaus. I just read that reading actually at the Mass, at the Memorial Mass, on the evening of the resurrection of Jesus. Their eyes are prevented from recognizing the risen Lord, and Jesus gently chides them for their foolishness at having forgotten their history and all that had been foretold. It was only at the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened and their hearts burned, they said. Did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us? And he vanished. At the breaking of the bread, he vanished from their sight, leaving the bread. And the disciples wasted no time in giving witness to the good news that Jesus was alive. We have to remember who God is, where we've come from, and who we are. As Jesus said, and we'll see this next week, the kingdom of heaven will be taken by force, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Victory has been secured in the death and resurrection of Jesus. For our part, we must remain with the Lord in the church, cleaving to him in the sacraments, grounded in sacred scripture, sustained, strengthened, and sanctified by the Holy Eucharist. Because herein lies the means to our survival in the face of misguided or godless people who set out to deconstruct history and wipe away our sacred memory. And we'll get hurt in the process, and we may fall as though dead. I love that as John opens up the book of Revelation at the appearance of the risen Christ, risen and glorified Christ. We may fall as though dead, but Christ will touch us with his right hand and say, get up and don't be afraid. It is I, the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I live forever and ever. The victory that conquers the world is our faith. And who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead. So in a nutshell, that's what we're going to be celebrating next week, right? Remembering. It happens every time we go to Mass. That's why it's if we don't fulfill the discipline of going to Mass on Sunday, in the least on Sunday, then we so easily become distracted and so easily walk away, creating that vacuum whereby falsehood and the demons come in, and then we have a world that is chaotic and confused and lacking in hope. Because where God is, there is hope. Where in the absence of God, there's no hope. Or it's a false hope, and it comes falling down pretty quick, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that's where we have the faith. Faith is what, it's a precious gift, faith that God has given us. And he gives us the graces to confront everything, you know, everything that's thrown at us.
So talk to me a little bit about that, you know, your faith or the challenges that you find, that, you know, just where, you know, why is it that you have, that you're here, always here? I don't mean here on the radio, but...
seeking the Lord or...
You fulfill the discipline of the Mass, mm-hmm. you pray, you remain Catholic. Why?
Because my faith is in the Lord. Like yesterday we were saying that St. Peter said, Lord, where else do we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And that's what keeps me grounded is my faith. Otherwise, I would have been easily, it could be out there.
I think what it is, you mm-hmm. need to know your faith. And I think mm-hmm. there are many that do not. And I think there are many that, I think of even for myself, until you get into the story, and you've said it so many times, and I got to admit, I've heard it so many times until I started to do it. When you know what God means to you, when you know there's a relationship, when you know he loves you, when you know...
So there's a lot of ignorance out there, you know?
Yeah. And I don't want to even say really... I think it's just, it's not the desire to know either. I want to say that everybody in their life, there'll come a time when you want to know more. Because even... like for me, I thought about it. I mean, I've gone to Catholic school. I know of God, but I don't. I think in these years, in probably the last 20 years or so, the thirst for learning more, and even, and it's funny too sometimes because I think sometimes the more you do learn, the more you kind of want to say no, I don't want anymore. But there's that thirst that is always there, and then when you start looking at the world as you see it now. I mean, I really think without faith at this time in my life, I would be just, and like Christina, you were saying it so beautifully. It's like, this is what keeps us. But I think this is now, you know, because people ask me, well, why do you go to church? And there's some that'll say, oh, you need to be in church. But then I see the same people that they don't. And then by the same token, too, I want to be that example.
Right.
And I know I fall so often. But as long as people see... hey, you know, maybe this is a, you know, so, get in touch with your faith.
So going back to the, I think we mentioned this yesterday or maybe on Tuesday, but I go back to the gospel. Was it this past Sunday where, and we can't but repeat. And in fact, it used to be read at every Mass, at the end of every Mass. I believe it was this this passage, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten mm-hmm. Son, not to condemn but to save the world. But this is the verdict. Always keep this in mind, Jesus says, but this is the verdict, that the light came into the dark, the light came into the mm-hmm. world, but people chose rather the darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. I think we did talk about this yesterday, but the boldness today mm-hmm. is that there is no fear of God, or very little fear of God, mm-hmm. which is the beginning of wisdom, as Scripture says.
I was just going to say that, too.
And so there's this boldness and an arrogance mm-hmm. in coming into the light, no longer having to hide yourself, to live with no shame. to be exposed. Everything is inverted. Everything is upside down. This is this diabolical disorientation. And, you know, one wonders if we're created, certainly we're created by God for God. We're not our own. We're created in His image and likeness and beauty and goodness. He's the artist. We're the work of His hands. He's a potter who wants to mold the clay of our lives to purge and transform and sanctify us. So deep, deep down, because we're all created by God, and Jesus came to redeem us, not just some, but everybody. But you have to. There's got to be a response. Love, yeah. Love demands a response. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it wouldn't be love. Yeah. But if we're obedient to the law written into our hearts, as Scripture says, that deep down we really know right from wrong. One wonders if people can be lukewarm or indifferent or caught up in the ways of the world, because again, as so many people say, you know, and as Jesus said, you know, the this road, He's the way, the truth, and the life, but He said this is a very narrow path, mm-hmm. and very few can really stay on it, and it is a discipline. And again, I bring it up all the time. And Peter said, well, how can man be saved? He said, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But one wonders that if, in a societal way, what once would bring us shame, you don't want to bring shame to your parents or to your family or to your community or to the faith. You know, there's this, that sensitivity that I want to represent. Mm-hmm. Those who have formed my life, those who have formed what was basically a Judeo-Christian ambiance or community, but as we, you know, as we are deceived or seduced or lured away from the discipline, because I more and more I'm saying, I think this is the bottom line: is people don't want the discipline.
No. Yeah. And that's where, you know, Father, when you say that faith is a gift, and I was having a conversation with somebody, and they said, well, if faith is a gift, how come not everyone is going to church or seeking them? I said, because when you're given that gift, we're all given that gift, but we have to accept the gift. We have to unpack the gift. And with unpacking, accepting the gift, that goes back to we have to be in that narrow path, being obedient and the discipline. And that's where people don't want, right, like
and
you
we,
said.
And we have an obligation to help each other down that path, because it is difficult. That's why Jesus founded the church, because we're in this spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if, and yes, if the faith is, you know, we have to be receptive. We mm-hmm. have to be docile, receptive, humble, have humility mm-hmm. to the inner working of God's Spirit to bring us, again, we're created by God for God, so that what should be the norm, what should be natural is that we're imbued with the supernatural. Or as I said yesterday, you know, we're to be Christified, you know, to be taken up into the life of Christ. Jesus, His will is to reproduce His life in our lives. So deep down, you know, but because we don't want the discipline because mm-hmm. it is hard. And quite frankly, you know, much of life is characterized by the monotonous mm-hmm. drudgery. Every day there's stress. Well, you know, St. John says, I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. And I've said this many times. I don't know how many times I keep saying this, because I repeat these things all the time, but
you have to.
That there's not a day, is there anybody out there in radio land, is there ever been a day when you haven't suffered something, you know, an attack to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit? And again, only God doesn't deceive us in this regard. And that's why, you know, we accept and treasure and embrace and enter into this faith because of God's honesty. Mm-hmm. God is honest. He is truth, the truth that will set us free. Again, the enemies of the soul, the world that doesn't acknowledge its creator and redeemer, the free reign of the flesh, The devil, who is a deceiver, is a seducer, does create the illusion, is the accuser.
No.
That, you know, so that's falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
But God is truth, and he's honest about the reality of this journey from here to there.
Yeah.
Again, doesn't condemn us to be here forever, but redeems us to bring us to look beyond the here and now into eternity. Lovers of life, lovers of the world, as, you know, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. We love life. We love the world. There's a lot of things we don't like about life and mm-hmm. don't like about the world, but we're committed to life in this world. So we don't escape. We don't flee. No, we're in the trenches. We fight the good fight because we know that this is to a good end, and we've got to bring others along the way.
And that's the beauty, that we're in it together. We're not by ourselves. And when we accept the gift, we have to share it. Like God said, we have to go out there, be a living witness, and help one another on the way and in the journey.
And so it's not beating the Bible mm-hmm. over somebody's head,
no.
but it's living with authenticity. Mm-hmm. See, we've got to really today move away from duplicity and hypocrisy, and be very intent on wanting to be authentic in living the Christian faith. Now, one of the points I wanted to make about this is one wonders as things get, as all this stuff comes out of the dark into the light, and we're seeing with our own eyes the insanity of it all, the lack of right reason, the lack of common sense, the lack of civility. As we see, you know, the vulgarity and the violence on the increase, that wouldn't that begin to make us think, I think I need to get things right with God, because this is really quite abnormal.
You know, I want to say,
without being specific,
mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. I want to say that it's never too late, but I tend to think, in the world today, these things you describe are becoming normal. So people are not seeing that. And I think that is truly the evil of evil.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to mm-hmm. I had actually several conversations, because I had appointments all afternoon and had some really, they were very, very good. I mean, there was a lot of deep talk mm-hmm. about deep things, because our faith is deep. It's very, very deep.
It is.
And, But in all cases, it's like, who would have thought? Now, these are people I've known. One of the family that I was meeting with, I've known for, they came here when I came here mm-hmm. to the parish, so 34 years. And the reality of what has come to be, that who would have thought? So you think way back when, you know, in our own lifetime, you read in Scripture, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will there even be faith in the world, or rather hearts that have gone cold? Okay, so we always heard that.
Never understood.
Today,
yes,
we say,
so
yeah, it's like,
it makes sense.
Who would have thought that we would be really living in this kind of reality?
If you can't look at this now and it clicks, that's why I love the fact that you say things 100 times, and please say them 100 more, because I think now when I think there are people that wake up and they see this and they, oh, this is exactly, that's what I am today. I heard things that years ago I would, oh no, that doesn't, but you would not believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and we'll take a break, then we'll come back, but on the Feast of St. Joseph, we were on the radio, I think, on that day, and mm-hmm. In the homily, I was very kind of animated, you know, because it was the Feast of St. Joseph, and I went back as we were talking on the radio, but just the, and there were a lot of people in the church and a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of young people in the evening, you know.
That's,
it's really
it,
it really is inspiring to me, and it's very, you know, I know, diverse. We've got all kinds of people, but I was very, very strong about the distinction between man and woman, and you know, the attributes of Saint Joseph, and you know, the how Joseph complemented the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you know, I talked about virginity and chastity, and the you know, giving one's life in total service to God, to the will of God, which is what Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother said. But I talked a lot about and what radical feminism has done to let's just say religious communities, communities of consecrated women. What's it done to the what has it done to marriage, the sanctity of marriage, the holiness of marriage, the necessity of family, the beauty of children, and all this. So I was talking about that, and while I'm talking, it's amazing how we're conditioned, because we know we're living in a hypersensitive time, and so if you speak to these old-fashioned truths, you're going to get slammed, and maybe even fired, maybe even pulled out of the pulpit, you know, and put into the prison, you know, as Cardinal George said, it's going to happen. You know? And in Canada, this kind of stuff is happening. You cannot say certain things. And so afterwards, so as I'm talking, I'm animated. I feel this passion because I believe in this truth.
Right.
And but then afterwards, you know, there's this kind of nervous energy within like,
did I say?
Well, I believe in what I was saying, and I know it's what the church teaches.
Right.
And it's, and again, I extrapolating from scripture and the whole nuptial and, you know, and all this.
When would you have to worry about saying what the church teaches?
Somebody's going to get offended.
So crazy, but it was amazing afterwards how many people came up and said, you know, and young people, and said, thank you so much for saying that, because we needed to hear that. And you're saying what we're thinking. You're saying what we're thinking, what we know, but we're afraid. Everybody's living in fear today. Not everybody, but most people are living in fear. They're afraid to speak their mind. Because you get, again, it's cancel our sacred memory. When I say sacred memory, I mean that the history imbued with the life of God, God leading, guiding, purging, forming, transforming his people in order that the light not be extinguished, not be extinguished.
I keep thinking, this is Holy Week. What did they do to Jesus?
Amen.
Aren't we living? We're living
to,
again.
To suggest way. To say, and people have said this. You know, again, I always go back to. I know Daniel. We got to take a break. Let me just finish this, and we'll take a break.
I'm sorry.
No. It's. But I always go back to St. Paul, leaving Ephesus, and he says to the priests, I'm leaving with a clean conscience, because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God. But you must know that the wolves are coming to devour, divide, devour, destroy, from without and from within. That's what he said. And, you know, this because I was on the Feast of St. Joseph, I was speaking about domesticating the person of Jesus, or domesticating men, and also speaking to healthy, holy patriarchy, which doesn't diminish women but builds them up.
Yes.
And listen, we're all affected by the culture we're living in. By this diabolical disorientation has affected all of us. So nobody goes through this unscathed. We've all been affected. We're all searching. I hear this from young guys, young women, or even older ones too, who just say, "What the heck is going on?" But these young people, they want to commit, they want to connect, but it's a very hard, unless you're living in hookup
culture,
which leaves people extremely empty. There's no but people are, you know, this isolation and loneliness that is so prevalent in the world, and this desire for communion and community, it really is. I know people are thinking he's being pessimistic. I see the beauty and the good. That's why we got the church. That's why we have each other. That's why I love. As somebody asked me last night, they said, after I was because I had so many confessions, so I, at the end of the mass, I said, I'm going back to the confessional, but I have to expose the Blessed Sacrament. And because normally we will pray the chaplet and then they pray the rosary. I don't stay for the rosary because I just, it's,
no time.
By that time it's, I've had no break in the, and I need to get ready for the next day and eat.
Yeah, of course.
Eat dinner and go to bed, sleep. But so these two people were sitting in the front, and as I was leaving, they said, hey, they called me over and they said, where do you get your energy? I said, how is it that you have that energy?
And she caught me at a good time.
I said, you know, there's just something about, you know, you have a very stressful day and tiring because really after the radio, I'm exhausted, you know. Yeah. And but I said, there's something about when I come into the church, into the confessional, into the mass, I just feel this energy. It's just, as I said, it's got to be by God's grace,
exactly,
by the grace of God. And it's not always, you know, there are times that I tell people, I'm really, really tired, you know, I'm going to, and how many times do I say, I'm going to be very brief this evening, but never, it never happens.
But then you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. It just.
And then I realized, well, gosh, you know, because a mass, this is a weekday mass, and you go on for 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, sometimes less, but. And I'm thinking these people have been working all day, and but they're there because they have this intent to be there because they really are disposed. And the fact that they stay afterwards for the chaplet or for the rosary, and rosary says something. But
and you could tell. I know you have that ability when people are kind of, you know.
Oh yeah, I can tell when people are.
And people are there because they wanna hear the word.
Like there was one guy, and he was, as I was giving the homily last night, he was kind of leaning down, like he was like, when's he gonna get? And then I felt like I need to kind of wrap this up, you know. And as somebody says, you don't know how to, Father, you know, you don't know how to land the plane, or they'll say, I've heard something, you're like a chef. You're a messy chef.
Right.
You're throwing all this stuff out, and it's all. And one wonders, where is this all going? And then all of a sudden, you've got the
beautiful,
the gourmet dinner.
Yeah, the final. Yeah.
I'm not saying that patting myself on the back because I know my own faults and my own my thinking is always scattered. I'm not an organized thinker. Therefore, I'm not an organized speaker. But anyway, we do need to take a break because we got to land this plane, you know?
Land the plane for a little bit.
And we'll come
back.
We'll land the plane. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
Christina, please stop.
I'm just excited.
Come on.
Cry, baby.
So excited.
I'll be all
always
right.
Crying. Dry for her cry tears. Dry her tears.
For cry eye.
For cry eye. You know, so that, I don't know if I said it, but I wrote it down when you were talking, Christina, because you had disrupted me or interrupted me.
Or
you caused me to lose my train of thought. But I think I did say it. You know, you wonder if people aren't beginning to say, there's too much. Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to get things right. But I'll tell you, the powers and the principalities, the powers out there are so strong that I mean, how many people are asking me, what do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? It's just like Peter, you know, like you mentioned, Jesus, when those disciples left, he says, hey, do you wish to go as well? He knew one would betray him. And Peter said, where do we go? We've come to believe you have the words of life everlasting. And to your point, you know, about this, both your points about faith, I mean, thank God, Jesus said so many beautiful things that encourage us, because this is because many people feel like, gosh, my faith is, I have such a little faith. But he says, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, it'll move the mountain, you know. And really, you know, where we are now in history, we're not. I often think about the people who went through the First World War or the Second World War in the last century, the genocide, the exterminations, extermination camps, the genocide, all that stuff. And I think, but what they must have been thinking at that time, what they went through. But you see, if we don't wake up, that's why, you know, don't erase sacred memory, the good and the bad. Because you want to remember the bad so you don't repeat it. And you want to strive for the good. And God is good. And God is truth. You know, don't succumb to the falsehood. And this is what's being forced on us today.
Yeah.
Really forced is the gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gaslighting so that people think I'm going crazy. Something's wrong because I'm being convinced that, no, what is right is really wrong, and what is wrong is really right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
But even what God said, you know, over and over, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and they follow me because they know my voice.
Which, if I can interrupt you there, right there,
yeah,
that's why it's crucial,
mm-hmm,
that we don't domesticate Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense when I say don't domesticate?
Yes, yes.
That we don't feminize, and by feminize, I don't mean that this is no put down on the feminine. The feminine is absolutely beautiful.
No.
But that we don't deny Jesus his manhood, mm-hmm, which, mm-hmm, going back to the Feast of St. Joseph,
yeah,
to look to the horizon, to prepare, provide, and protect. And that's really what the, mm-hmm, Lord did, right?
Yes.
He gave us a blueprint. This is what you've got to do. This is what's expected of you. And you've got to lay down your life, you know, emulate the Master. No greater love doth man have for his brother, but that he lay down his life. In other words, love that is sacrificial. I mean, just by way of example, you know, this whole, which is disgusting to me, but a woman who's in a difficult situation, I'm thinking right now of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, she didn't alone bring conception to that child. You know, it took a man to bring this child to conception, right? So where is the man in the picture, you know, who should be taking responsibility for this? But the fact that, you know, with this, where we've come with abortion in this nation and in other nations, to the point that it's legal to abort a child up to the time of birth, and the fact, and again, it's astounding to me that I'm thinking of New York. I'm thinking of the celebration.
It's New York,
but that happened recently too. Where was it? Was it here in Illinois, or was it?
It might have been many places.
There are many places, but the absolute. Oh, yeah. Jubilation,
mm-hmm,
the joyful jubilation, the celebration, the, you know, in New York's, you know, lighting the Empire State Building,
yeah,
and just and we're talking about infanticide,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
infanticide.
See, this is the thing now, you know, and I think about it. I was I had a problem with abortion before it became till birth. Because when you think of till birth, then that's murder.
Yes.
I don't know how people want to walk around and, oh, hooray, we need this. This is our right. This is our whatever. But it's murder. Okay. I still think we, as a people, we don't know how to talk this. Because, I mean, you can make this simple. You can make it as soft. And I always tell people, I says, I don't know what it's like to have a baby. I'm not one to, but I know what death is.
But did you see the lack of common sense or the lack of right reason? Yes. So you take just what you say, because I'm saying, well, where are the men defending life? Uh-huh. Where are the men defending life? Or, you know, let's look at it at another from another issue, which again to me it just okay. We've been through, and I had mentioned earlier in the show, radical feminism, which is, as Pope Benedict said, even before he was Pope, that this has done the most harm to women's religious communities, the communities of consecrated women, radical feminism. We've come to this place in our culture, which is, I mean, how do you define culture? Are we even cultured people anymore? Where a man can say he's a woman and enter into women's sports, where are the feminists? Where are the women who defend women? Where are they not, you know, speaking out again? And the one who did, who was a lesbian, I forgot her name, who spoke out was then canceled out.
Yeah.
In defense of women.
There's, like, no logic.
There's no logic.
No logic. And going back to the abortion issue, how the women will fight and say, well, this is a woman's right to choose. This is my body, and I choose what I do, what I want to do with my body. Yet the child has no voice, has no right. So you cancel out the child, and I do what I want because it is my body.
But isn't that part of the narcissism we're breeding in the society? Mm-hmm. You know,
so that's what people don't want.
The world revolves around me.
They don't
me.
Want to see that.
Don't see beyond myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's again, it's
this is what I want.
Even as we're having this conversation, you know, the vultures come out and they'll want to devour us for even having a conversation. But really, you can go on and on. There's so many things. I mean, what about, you know, how is it? Is this true or not? You know, that if you want an aspirin. If a child wants an aspirin in school, you have to get the parental permission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to puberty
blockers
and all
or
that,
anything. Yeah.
And I was reading just the other day again.
Don't
you know,
tell your parents.
Parents had the child taken out of their home because they wouldn't respect that child's pronouns. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and this stuff is again. You know, pride. Let me just say, pride is the big word today, and the antithesis of pride is humility. Humility makes saints.
Oh.
In humility, we acknowledge our need for God, and we acknowledge the disorder in our lives, our own sicknesses, our own sinfulness, our own weakness, but we don't wallow in that, because God has, we have to see ourselves through the eyes of God. And we learn to suffer whatever we have to suffer, but in the company of God or infused with the grace of God, and rather than add to the disorder in the world or diminish ourselves and others, you know, we lose self. Like Jesus, just the other day, or maybe it was Sunday, you know, lose yourself. I think it was Sunday's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Die to yourself so that you live. Lose yourself that you find yourself. In other words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, it's all relative. You know, what is truth? As Pilate's going to say to Jesus, you know, he come to proclaim the truth. Ah, truth. Ah, what's truth? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. There has to be a truth that sets us free. Are we a more free people now? When people live in fear to speak their mind, that's not freedom.
No.
I mean, certainly nobody has a right to diminish anyone or to besmirch or to violate the dignity of another. Mm-hmm. But it's just crazy. But what we're doing to our children, to the young people. I mention on the radio about the again this the isolation, loneliness, mm-hmm. on the part of young people. Suicide at an all-time high. They don't have room in psychiatric hospitals.
That's true.
To accommodate these young people who are sick. And many would say, I think we talked about this on Tuesday, but that, well, this is the result of the pandemic. No, it actually precedes the pandemic.
Yeah.
In 2010, when flip phones became smartphones, the internet.
Yeah.
And social media, cyberspace is supposed to unite, connect, bring everybody together, mm-hmm. and yet people are more isolated and are just being inundated with so much. Because mm-hmm. life is hard. And this is a part of the thing, too, you know, is I'm not happy.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I don't understand, and I hear this a lot, are these, especially among girls, like cutting themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that to your body?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you cut yourself?
Yeah.
But the problem is, again, I'm gonna say, where are the adults? Where are the men? Where are the women? Where is God? Where is God? I was talking about that at the funeral, the Mass this morning, going over again the last words of Jesus, which we'll talk about next week certainly, but, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who has not cried that prayer? But like Jesus, into your hands I commend my spirit, I put my trust in you. But a lot of people are asking today, where's God? Or they've been conditioned to blame God,
mm-hmm.
that they're not happy, or that they're, you know, there's so much, no communion, no community.
Right.
But it's, can I go back to that student who said, Father, I want to shock you. Okay, all right, shock me. I don't believe in God and all this stuff, dot, dot, dot. And he goes on and on. I says, oh, what do you believe in? What do you believe in? I believe in man. Ah, okay. Well, so what does man do to man? Oh, yeah, I got to think about that.
They walked away to think about it.
You know, God is, you know, we're created by God for God. By God for God.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's God's honesty contrasted with the dishonesty of the world that doesn't acknowledge its creator and redeemer, or the free reign of the flesh, or the deceptions and seductions of the devil, the falsehood, who accuses. And, you know, we all know this. We've all experienced this. We all see it. We all suffer it. Without God, we are allured into a downward spiral of enslavement, bondage. And once you're enslaved or bound by this, that, or whatever, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be sex, whatever it may be. It's so hard. It's a suffering. And thank God for the church, you know, in spite of our own, we're the church militant, we're in the battle, we're fighting a good fight. And as, again, St. Paul said, you know, be astute, don't be duped, don't be duped.
Mm-hmm.
The wolves are coming from without as well as from within. It's worse when they come from within. Because it just adds to the confusion. But you know, thank God for the church, for those who remain faithful to truth, to dogma, to doctrine, to the commandments of God, those who have the strength and the will to push against the wind, swim against the current, not to throw in the towel, not to, those who have the courage to stay the course, knowing that they're going to be persecuted. You know, thank God for them, because those who live in such a way, as you go back to what you said, Christina, people will recognize the voice of the shepherd when truth is spoken, because they know, people know what the world is doing to them. Like I heard, you know, I heard it was said of, you know, the whole abomination took place at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Rome when this transgender activist died and they, you know, canonized her, Saint Cecilia, mother of all whores, excuse my language, but that's what they said, you know, right in the church, in the church, and in the just the stuff that was being said and the total lack of respect, the total lack of reverence for the space, the sacred space, and the priest applauding and laughing and, you know, just joining in on this, you know, again, doesn't that, are these happy people?
No, they're not.
Are these people who have really found themselves?
No.
Isn't there a sadness that the one should feel a certain pity for? I mean, all of us are on that quest, but if we don't acknowledge, and again, we're at the end of the show, but Jesus stood before Pilate, and he was being shouted into death, basically, crucify him. Because Pilate offered
to free him.
To free him. Put him alongside Barabbas.
I see no wrong in this man.
There's no wrong. This man is innocent.
Yeah.
Well, there's your lamb. It's because for the Passover, it has to be you have to have a lamb that has no blemish, spotless lamb. And so as those lambs are being slaughtered for the Passover, this man has no, I find no wrong in this man. This man is innocent. There's no blemish here. So I offer you Barabbas or Jesus. And they, with vehemence, called for his crucifixion. Get rid of him. Crucify him. The source of our redemption. And that's what's happening today. We're being...
They're still shouting. You know how often we say shouting out the voice of the living God to silence?
Completely.
These forces.
That's what it is.
Completely.
And people will, I believe people will see this, but it might be too late.
Well,
that's the
time will tell.
Fear I always have.
Certainly the trajectory is not good. And we need, again, the question that was asked yesterday, where are the fathers? Where are our fathers? Yeah, it's a good question. All right, everybody, thank you so much for being with us, and have a blessed Holy Week as we begin the commemoration of Holy Week on Sunday, Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Be with you. Ciao. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.